He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It's the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we have kind of a tepid start here to the market, obviously still cooling off from last week's red-hot market. Right now the Dow's up 38 points. Puts it at 34,190. The S&P is up 3 points to 4,381. The NASDAQ's basically flat here today at 13,642. Basically flat today. Crude oil continues to sink. Crude oil's down 52 cents. All the way down to $76.85, so much for the war premium, which seems to have disappeared. And the energy stocks had a very poor day yesterday, while the tech stocks had a good day on a further drop in interest rates. Gold is down $6.50. Looks like the war premium is gone there, too. It's at $19.67. Silver is up 19 cents to $22.78. And the 10-year has come down quite a bit this week from overheated territory. It's clear down to 4.56. It's flat today, however, at 4.56%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I've been a professional money manager for the last 23 years. I've seen a lot in the market during that period of time. Hopefully that will be useful to you, the listener. I've also done my radio show on the market for the last two-plus decades, and I'm here with Barry Kite. It helps that he's a chartered financial analyst. That's not an easy designation. He's also a certified financial planner, which is not an easy designation either.
I think it was J.P. Morgan. It was some group, I think, at J.P. Morgan that's working on training an AI machine to pass the CFA level test? level one and level two. Level three would be a little more tricky because there's some essay in there, probably more coding, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So they're working on that at the moment, which is, you know, they're just trying to
show the power. I always like a little bit of human touch in there just to make sure everything looks okay. That's just me. Because, you know, I mean, my app, beststocksnowapp.com, is, I program it. It's algorithms, and what comes out of it is numbers and the analysis of those numbers. But I think looking at the chart, physically looking at the chart, reading the story behind the stock and whatnot, is also very, very critical. Well, we had a decent day in the market yesterday. The Dow was up 57. The NASDAQ was up 121. The tech stocks had a very good day yesterday. But the oil and gas stocks continue to sell off. They were really weak. Obviously, oil was down $3.32 yesterday. The 10-year was down 9 basis points yesterday. And, you know, there must have been some funny business going on with the hedge funds and the short sellers in the bond market, because I see today that the SEC chairman, Gary Gensler, is warning about the short sellers and wanting to maybe rein them in a little bit as it relates to, you know, short selling the debt markets. So there had to have been some kind of big hedge fund moves that drove those interest rates up to over 5% on the 10-year. Now, remember, the Fed hasn't done anything. The market took rates up 50 basis points, 75 basis points, and then all of a sudden, I think there was a lot of short covering, and you add that into the issuance by the Treasury, record amounts to cover record spending. And, of course, the refunding of the debt, and that all added up. But that seems to be gone from it right now, the Treasury market. seems to be steadier. Yeah,
speaking of refunding, I think they're going to float 40. I think it's $40 billion of 10-year notes today. So it's interesting that the ten years been flat and behaved pretty well. So.
And we did have, I haven't heard the results. Jerome Powell was speaking right before the market opened. And it did take, the market was open. It was up more right at the open, and then it kind of sank a little bit. So I'm thinking, I haven't had a chance to see what Powell said. Maybe you could check that.
Yeah, he had some open ring.
Opening remarks, right?
Yeah, and so it's odd because we've got lots of Fed speak this week, but really none of them are talking about monetary policy. Basically, Powell's was the only opportunity, I guess, to speak about monetary policy, and I haven't seen any big news from what he said.
Well, they usually throw that in their speech somewhere. They're speaking on something else. They seem to throw a few lines in there somewhere. We got a lot of earnings that have come in today. You know, we're getting kind of down into the secondary stocks, although we do have a Dow stock that reported today. It's helping the Dow a little bit. And some S&P 500. We'll get a Dow stock before the opening bell on Wednesday. I have not seen Disney's results. I'm thinking it's after the bell. Disney is flat right now at $84.62.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from them either.
No,
I saw Warner Brothers this morning, and they're getting hammered.
They're getting hammered. The streamers are not doing well. A Dish Network got hammered yesterday. I just think there's too crowded. There's too many choices out there, and there's going to be a lot of consolidation. Okay, also reporting you today, Beyond Meat. I can hardly wait for that one. Arm Holdings, Callaway Brands, which also now involves Top Golf, Kellogg, AMC Entertainment. We've already got Roblox and Biogen. We'll go through those. Fisker's going to report. They're going to report their loss.
I saw. Right. Well, the news story on them I just saw that was out is apparently they're delaying their results. Well,
that's
usually is not ever good.
No,
right?
It's not like they had blowout earnings on their Fisker car.
Yes.
We've gotten Kellanova. That's the new spinoff from Kellogg. HubSpot, which is an important software stock. Yesterday, Datadog was the stock of the day. The dog was in the house. Who let the dogs out? That stock just absolutely exploded to the upside, carried a lot of software stocks with it. Okay, so let's dig into today, some of the macro. I always like to start off with the big picture. We continue to watch China. We haven't heard a lot of good news out of China recently on their economy. But China auto sales soar in October off strong electric vehicle demand. I would say that China's probably ahead of us as far as a country, as far as adopting electric vehicles. I mean, they've got several big players over there with Li Auto, one of the biggest, and Boyd, etc. The China Passenger Car Association sales that reported on Wednesday that passenger car sales rose 10.2% year over year in October. So that's pretty good. I mean, that's kind of the first good news that we've heard out of China on their economy for quite some time. Sales of electric and hybrid vehicles climbed 37.5% from a year earlier. Who was the leader? BYD. That was a company that Warren Buffett. I think he still owns a little, but he was an original.
I think he still has some percentage. I know at one point he was selling some of that stake, but primarily because I think the stake went up, and he became a pretty big position for him.
Yes. Also, let's see, BYDDF. Let's just check in on that. We owned it for a while, but I get really nervous about Chinese stocks quite some time ago. Boyd is flat on the day. Of course, Tesla is a big seller. They're down 1.1%, so I'm not really seeing anything move. Let's just look at Li Auto, which is another big player in China. Nothing there, really. Amazon is developing their own AI model. You know, yesterday we heard from Elon Musk. He's got his that they're working on. It's supposedly going to have a sense of humor, according to him. He doesn't have much of one that I can see. But he'll have some programmers program in. And they'll ask questions. They'll ask you some questions. Maybe you ought to be looking at this, dum-dum, or something like that. I don't know. Amazon's developing their own AI model called Olympus. Amid the race with open eyes. Somehow I just see this not ending well, all of this AI stuff that is supposedly going to take over the world at some point in time. Okay, a smoking ban looks like it's going to come to fruition in the United Kingdom, but it's going to take a while. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where right now we have the Dow up 37, but the NASDAQ is down 20 right now. And I haven't really had a chance to look underneath the surface of the market a whole lot, although I see Oscar Health up another 13.3% today. That's been a good one for us.
Not a bad follow-up, right, to yesterday.
I think it was up 18% yesterday. OSCR, which is a small holding of ours, but we bought it because of management. It's the former CEO of Aetna, who did a good job there, taking on the CEO role at a small healthcare company called Oscar, OSCR. And so far it's panned out pretty well. Okay, well, if you're under 14 years old in the UK, you'll never be able to legally buy a cigarette because they're going to raise the age every year until it phases everybody out. They're going to effectively create the first smoke-free generation in the UK. Well, that's not good for British Tobacco, BT. I'm not sure who owns British Tobacco these days, BTI. I used to follow that. It was a big, they're still around, a big dividend player. I'm sure they have markets. It's Asia, really, where the Marlboro Man went and a lot of the big cigarette brands. But that's quite a big market, the UK. King Charles III confirmed that he will back the plan, the major crackdown, which was proposed by UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak last month, would effectively create the first smoke-free generation in the UK. Of course, it will take some time, but eventually, they'll have a smoke-free generation. Okay, now.
Well, in Europe, it's funny because, I'm almost positive. Charles has smoked over there, and certainly his, the new queen has. All these people voting on it who likely have, do smoke or have smoked, particularly in Europe.
Europe, there's quite a bit of smoking that goes on over there, so it's not going to be easy. I'm sure there'll be a big black market for cigarettes. Now, Disney has not reported yet. They've got it wrong here in Seeking Alpha. Activist Nelson Peltz is waiting for the results before deciding his next move. See, these activist investors, he owns $2.5 billion stake in Disney, which gives him a voice.
Yeah, and he's waiting for the numbers just like everyone else. Right?
And then from there, he'll decide whether to go forward with the proxy fight to nominate new board members. According to a CNBC report on Wednesday, it's not clear if Disney can say or will say anything during its earnings conference call that may sway Peltz to back down in a possible proxy fight. Most of Peltz's stake is through shares owned by the billionaire ex-Marvel Studios chairman Isaac Perlmutter, the Wall Street Journal. So anyways, we'll see. I mean, Disney has had its issues. It has not been a very good stock. And, you know, the competition, I mean, look at that streaming space, how competitive and how many offerings there are now. But I will say, I mean, Disney stock has mellowed out. It's kind of going sideways here. I call that a number one sideways trend. Nothing too exciting. There is no dividend on Disney these days. And we'll see what they report. It is a member of the Dow. The state of the bond market. Here's one we're looking into. The number 19 ranked stock in the Best Stocks Now app is Ares Management, which is a pretty big money manager, $32 billion in market capitalization out of Los Angeles. They run private money, a lot of pension fund money. It's a $32 billion company market cap. And I saw an offering today. Okay, well, you know, over the next 5 years, a senior note bond, 6 3/8.
Just so you know. That's a pretty solid number.
That's a pretty solid number. And, you know, look, there's a lot of folks, and I've looked into all the alternative investments out there that supposedly have stable principal. And I remember when they were making the claim, which I always called foul on, that non-traded REITs had stable principal. Well, nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah,
they weren't reporting the change.
They weren't being valued. Yeah,
no.
That was the problem. Yep.
Well, exactly. Look, and you know, I mean, there were some big guys on radio, some of my competitors that were saying, well, you got this should be a big, big piece of your bucket.
I remember picking those things apart years ago, and it was, you know, your volatility is low because you only have four, you know, value points, right?
Yeah.
Versus something that's valued daily, right, is going to obviously be more volatile because you've got more data points.
Yeah. So anyways, I mean, finally they started making them value those things monthly and the people's statements. And then they saw what they were really worth. And there's only two ways to get out of a non-traded REIT. That is, one, for the company to go public. Actually, there's three ways. Or to be bought out by another company. That's a liquidity event. Or three, selling it on the market, which there really isn't a market, at a steep discount. So I avoided those things. I never bought one. I had no interest. I'm not a commission guy anyways.
Yeah,
but there were fat commissions on those things, Barry.
Oh, yeah. And fourth and fifth were the not fun ones. We have seen, you know, provisions where you could have some liquidity in the event of death or disability. So it was like, you know, that, which doesn't – all of them don't have that provision. But, yeah,
those
are your ways to get your money out. Good luck.
Right. It was yet another bad idea from our friends on Wall Street to line their pockets. And, of course, a lot of the commission brokerage firms, the broker-dealers. Now, I think that's important to know. A broker-dealer in this business sells commission products, and they usually offer fee-based money management, whereas an RIA like myself, a registered investment advisor, is fee-based only.
Yeah, we don't take commissions and can't take commissions from a regulatory standpoint.
You should know that if you're with a broker dealer or if you're with a registered investment advisor. There's a big difference.
I think legally on some of those private REITs that they're non-traded REITs, I think you can go, I think the front end commission on those can be up to 15%.
Oh, yeah.
Legally. And you know, most of them are in that, you know, 5 to 7 range, you know, or a little higher. So.
And how many non-traded REITs have transferred from another firm? Let's say an account comes to us from another firm and it's got one of those non-traded REITs in it, and there's nothing you can do.
I think I've only seen one of those end up going public in the last, you know, 5 years.
They're stuck with them.
Right.
You're stuck. So I'm just saying, a 5-year bond held to maturity, paying 6 3/8. That's
and
not
you can
guaranteed.
Sell it along the way.
You can. It's liquid, and there's no commissions on it. You know, that to me seems like a better alternative if you're the nervous type. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
To the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be expanding into two new markets, Barry, with the show. That's always good news. Pretty soon we'll be heard.
Always exciting, yeah.
Yes, in Houston on their big news talker down there, sandwiched in between Dennis Prager and Charlie Kirk, and coming to Cleveland soon. Sandwiched also in between Dennis Prager and Charlie Kirk. So that'll be fun. Hopefully we'll be 6 months down the road, a year down the road. Of course, as we build an audience, hopefully there's somebody there that wants to hear what we've got to say, that we can visit those cities, do a workshop, meet with the good folks there. So that's always fun. We had a great time in Bloomfield Hills. You know what? That's a great restaurant, that Lou, what was the name of it? Murr's.
Oh, man, hang
Jack
on.
Jack Murr's.
The one, Mowers?
Joe Mowers. Joe Murr's. That place.
Yeah, Murr's.
Really
it always makes me think of the catcher from
I know. Joe Mauer
from Minneapolis, but we're talking about Detroit.
Yes. I had a great time, and I love going into new markets. And learning about them and visiting and everything. We got a lot of great places.
Just the history there was, I don't know. I thought it was really interesting. Just, you don't think about just in that city in general, right? The innovation that really has taken place there when you talk about
the
automobile.
World.
Well, right. Yeah. The automobile, right? Connected us, connected folks, like never before at that particular
Now,
time.
Most people correct us and say, well, Henry Ford invented the assembly line.
That's very, very true.
But still, I mean, Elon Musk knows all about that assembly line, right?
Yeah,
well, we talk every day about biotechs with some big new discovery, but there is another side, okay? In fact, I had a friend, she was the HR manager at a biotech in San Diego when their drug blew up, and, you know, it was their main thing, right? And it didn't work out, and she had to announce it to all the people, and they laid off just about everybody. Well, the Direct today is the big loser, DRRX. Their lead asset fails in a mid-stage trial for a liver disorder. I don't think the stock will probably survive. I doubt that the company will survive. The stock is down 75% today to just 64 cents per share. So that's the other side, right, of investing, especially in small biotech companies. Okay, one of Warren Buffett's biggest holdings has reported here today, and that's Occidental Petroleum. Yes, Warren Buffett is an investor in fossil fuels. So boycott him if you wish. Occidental is up 2.3%, however. It's been a pretty good stock, even though there's been quite a bit of weakness in the oil stocks recently. The problem is, you know, anytime you're tied to a commodity, right, like the copper stocks are tied to the price of copper, the lithium stocks are priced, it's a commodity, and commodities are unpredictable. It's supply and demand, and they're volatile. So you have to know, if you invest in commodity stocks, gold, silver, anything, you are subject to the price on the world Where isn't London the big place for spot prices on different commodities? And of course, Chicago.
Chicago, and historically, London. Isn't that where Soros did the silver when he cornered the silver market?
The Hunt brothers here.
Soros
bet against the British pound.
And
cleaned up.
But anyway, it had something to do with Britain.
You just have to realize that when you invest in commodities, you have another side to that whole investment. Okay, now another one here, Biogen, which is in the Dow. That's the first biotech to ever enter into the Dow. Of course, Biogen has been profitable for many, many years. They have a lot of products. But it hasn't been a very good stock. Biogen is down 4.1% today. And that's dragging down the Dow. They did make an acquisition during the quarter, apparently it hasn't been very good. Okay, now here's another one that I bring up because I have a new feature in the new app. Any day, I keep saying that, I know. And you can't believe the details. It's always the devil's in the details. But we're very close. But anyways, I have several screens in there. The best 10-year performer, the best 5-year performer, the best 3-year, the best 1-year, the best year to date, the best 3-month, the best 1-month, the best 6 months, ranked from top to bottom. Well, the number 5 stock over the last 12 months is CBAY, CBAY. They're in the news today. They reported this stock is up over the last 12 months 373%. It's a quadruple. You can look at a chart of it. I've owned it myself personally a little bit over the years. They treat mostly metabolic and kind of rare diseases. But they're in the news today. They report a loss, which most biotechs do until they actually get something. But CBAY, number 4 stock over the last 12 months. Under Armour gains after better than feared. That's been a terrible performer. Under Armour has gone nowhere for a long, long time. They wanted to go head-to-head with Nike, basically. Not so much. Did they make shoes? They make shoes, too, right?
They started out in apparel, and then of course went and basically branched into everything. Right,
signed turned up into, some NBA into players.
Shoes. Yep, got some shoes. Signed up a handful of colleges. I think Maryland was one of the first ones years ago. And then they do shoes and do a lot of things. I guess the thing is they're not Nike, right? And that's probably been really what's. They make hunting clothes. They make all kinds of, different thermal pieces. And they paid a lot of money, right, to get some of those different colleges, right,
that
to come
Curry,
on board.
Stephon Curry. Steph
Curry,
right?
That's right.
Their big guy, really, their big guy that wears. Okay, now.
Yeah, and he could probably play basketball and shoot in flip-flops,
barefoot.
The way he can shoot, so.
Well, there's a couple of the startups that have reported here. Rivian. I didn't know that they had an exclusive deal with Amazon, but they broke that deal today. They want to branch out to get those Rivians out there. But Rivian continues to lose money. Let's see how much they lost this quarter. They lost $1.19 per share. Their sales are up 149%, but the trick is turning into profitability. There's the trick. They have burned through a lot of money since they've been public. Here's a stock that was 180 during the hype back in 2021, $180 per share. Now it's 17. That's the kind of beating that Rivian investors have taken.
Well, and look at Fisker. That was the one. I saw where their report's going to be. Earnings are going to be delayed till the 13th.
Wow.
They had an accounting personnel change or something. But that stock thinks down like 4 or 5% at the moment. I think that stock's in the $4 range or something.
Yeah.
I mean, remember where that one was at one point in time.
So. Well, here's another one. It's still $10 billion in market cap. Lucid is down to $3.99 now. It was at $64. $3.99. So much for the EV boom and investing in EV companies. Lucid also gave a production guidance cut. In other words, they're not selling. They're expensive. That's another big problem that we've been talking about is the price. And I saw an article yesterday about it ain't coming anytime soon, a cheap EV car.
Well, when interest rates are what they are, right? I mean, it's even more expensive, right? It's crazy.
Yep. And here's another one. This is an electric vehicle, but this is one I said this is guaranteed to not pan out, almost guaranteed. Robinhood. Right. Because they went after, you know, teenagers and young people and small accounts and no cost for trading. And, you know, there's just no margin in that kind of business. This was one of Kathy Wood's favorite stocks. Got up to 85. Now it's 8. And it's getting pummeled today, down 14%. How's her ARK funds doing today? ARK Funds is down 2.2% today because that's a big holding there. Robinhood. And here's another industry that's not, it's just burning money like crazy. The solar stocks, FTCI Solar, is down 61% today.
Oh.
61% as the solar stocks go up in smoke. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, it's always fun to look underneath the surface of the market. On the surface, the Dow's up 15 points today. Pretty quiet day. I warned last Friday in the newsletter, last Saturday, that the market's going to cool off this week. It was way overheated last week and expected to cool off. And I think it's fair to say that during the first 3 days of this week, it has cooled off quite a bit. But it's always fun to take a look underneath the surface of these indexes and the entire market just to see, you know, where the winners are, if there is any strength. I'm really going to say today in the Dow, Home Depot and Amgen are about it. And on the downside, Intel's given up a little bit here today. It's down 2.1%. So the Dow is trading very flat here today, just not much going on there. If you're looking for a winner today, you'd be hard-pressed to find one in the big-cap Dow stocks. Now, in the in the S&P 500, there's a little bit of strength there. Extra Space Storage. I actually knew somebody that worked there, knew the founder of that. We used to see the late founder of Public Storage. He really was the guy that started it all. Then he got into horse racing in a big way in his later years and was a big owner. And then he bought one of the biggest horse breeding farms in Lexington, Kentucky. I want to say he bought Calumet Farms. B. Wayne Hughes.
Wow, really? Okay.
Yes, yeah. And he did pretty good.
he had just to put all that money somewhere,
guy.
Right?
He just, everything he touched seemed to turn to gold. And Extra Space Storage, that's a competitive business. Barry, are we the self-storage capital of the world?
It seems like it, and there's certainly been a lot of supply that's come on. I mean, and forget just around here, here in the Charleston area, but is the U.S. don't you think the U.S. has to have like the most like storage units?
I mean,
we have so much
stuff in storage.
Right?
How many people just walk away, quit paying the bill, and just leave everything there?
Yeah, I mean, we got TV shows. You got the storage wars and TV shows about, you know,
how
people
much
not
treasure is in these. They do have auctions all the time of people that left stuff behind. And every once in a while, some masterpiece painting will be discovered in one of these. But anyways, Extra Strength, Extra Space Storage, EXR, is a winner in the S&P. Take Two Interactive. You know, that's a good stock. I don't know if your boys played this.
Not the two young ones, but yeah, that's the
they make the
Grand Theft Auto, right? Yeah.
So. Not exactly the best thing for kids to be playing.
No. Nowadays there's a lot more adults that play those games than anything.
Yeah.
Surprisingly,
so take
enough.
Two. I mean, the valuation's really good, and I valued it about 2 months ago. I had 96% upside potential. I actually considered buying it. But having said that, they're all over the map, depending on how the latest edition.
And Roblox. If there's Roblox out there, I mean, it's up, 17-something
Roblox
today.
Roblox is the other big winner.
It's been bumpy. Yeah.
That's the stock of the day, Roblox. It's up 17%. But it was 141, and now it's 41, and it got cleared down to 25 recently. So there's a lot of volatility that comes with owning these. And Roblox, though, is I'm going to call it the stock of the day, up 17% today. Under Armour's up 5%. That's not one I'd be interested in. American Airlines is up 4%. That's probably because of the big drop in oil. They're very oil sensitive. And when you see in the mouth of three witnesses today, United Airlines up 3.3, Delta's up 2.9, nothing I'd be interested. Occidental's up 2.1 for good old Warren Buffett. Just what he needs, another few billion to act onto his net wealth, which he's going to give away at some point in time when he expires. When the options run out on Warren's life, Warner Brothers is down 17% today.
Yeah,
Paramount down 6.5.
I mean, the thing is, you're down that much, and you had, I mean, they had Barbie, right, which was the hit of the of the year, and I believe it was them who had Barbie, if I'm not mistaken, Warner Brothers, and they're still down 17%. It's just a tough business. I mean,
it's a very difficult business. Okay, looking over at the NASDAQ, not much happening really. Take Two, which is a NASDAQ component, is up 6.6. Believe it or not, American Airlines is in the NASDAQ. It's up 4. Applied Materials. I've noticed that the Lam and KLA have been doing pretty well, as has ASM Lithography, which make all that all-important equipment that enables us to make these AI chips that NVIDIA makes. And on the downside in the NASDAQ, we're not really seeing the big tech. I don't see Microsoft. I don't see Google. But they've had a good run, man. You look at between last week and so far this week, they've been on fire. I was texting Barry yesterday. I said, man, our premier growth large cap portfolio is really doing well lately, as is the ultra growth portfolio. And because there's quite a few tech stocks in there. They're still the premier growth stocks in the market for the most part, outside of the Lilly's and the Novo Nordisk.
Well, interesting story in that front today. Check out the story with Microsoft and Oracle. Just they're having a kind of basically using. Looks like they're going to do a kind of a joint deal where they're going to use each other's server capacity, right, for our GPUs for AI purposes.
Yep. So it's still a big story, that AI. Okay, if you'd like to sample what Gunderson's capital management has to offer, I write that newsletter every week. I've done it for the last 23 years. It's got the macro outlook. That's where it all begins. And then, of course, breaking down the market into what I consider to be the best stocks now. And it's a whole different class of stocks than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I've seen them come and go, the leaders in the market, and it's a different class of stocks today. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us to get a plan in place to put the best stocks to work for you now, we can't make any guarantees, but we do our best to try to identify the cream of the crop in the market today. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.